This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hey guys, and welcome to another edition of Head to Head. Oh my God, what a head to head it is as well. I mean, it's literally Wolverhampton Wanderers travelling to the unstoppable train that is Manchester City, chugging along to another championship. And I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by a fellow TalkSport Fan Network podcast, the City Report podcast. And we've got Luke from the City Report join us today to tell us how Manchester City are going to batter Wolves this weekend. Hey, Luke, how you doing?
Very fine. Very happy for you to have me on. I really appreciate it. It is, what a lovely intro as well. Like, usually it's all, oh, financial fair play, City this, City that. But what a lovely intro that was. I'm really excited to get into the game. I think it could be a really interesting sort of Saturday game, which I can't wait to see.
Well, it is, mate. I mean, I'm going to ask you a question.
I think I know what it's going to be.
Are you like fed up of winning things all the time? Does it get a bit boring? Or when I say boring, because obviously winning is nice, but do you just show it's just another trophy? Because as a Wolves fan, we'd love to like win the FA Cup or the League Cup or, you know, the title or everything. And it's kind of like, yeah, we've just won the treble again. And, you know, we're in the FA Cup final again. Okay, you got knocked out to the Champions League, and we might win the Premier League for a record fourth time in a row. I mean, do you just get to take these things for granted, or is it still as exciting?
It's still exciting. I mean, I am an English League fan. I was brought up by my dad to be like, if you win the Premier League, you are literally top dog in the whole country. So it never gets bored winning a Premier League. You never forget the moments of past years as well. Obviously, Istanbul was an unbelievable opportunity, and I was so happy to say that I was out there as well.
You were there?
Yeah. So I was there in Istanbul. I only missed one trophy live last year, which was the FA Cup, because I was on holiday, which is a little bit disappointing. But to see a Premier League lifted and also to see the Champions League lifted in person was special. It doesn't get boring winning, I won't lie to you. It's amazing to see your team. Bearing in mind where we came from as well, I mean, we were in the same category as Wolves 15 years ago. It's amazing what a bit of money can do, really, and a bit of great planning, great investment. Most importantly, just getting the right team in behind the scenes that really sort of catapulted us to be a global superpower at the moment within football.
Absolutely, mate. I mean, City were down in League One, I think 2-0 down in a playoff final. How things can turn on not even one day, but like 5 minutes or whatever it was.
I think that's a turning point in our history, without a shadow of a doubt. Imagine if Gillingham would have won at Wembley, like what could have happened? Maybe we wouldn't have got the takeover. Maybe we wouldn't have got that move to the now Etihad Stadium. I think that was a real big key point, being able to get that Commonwealth Stadium under our belt. That's what really attracted the people with the money towards us. But it could happen to any club. Look at Newcastle now. You never know. All it takes is just a foreign investor to sort of look at your club, see an opportunity and come. Like, it could happen to Wolves. I mean, it has happened to you, really, with the investment you've had over the last few years as well.
Well, absolutely. I mean, yeah, we could be just... I could be talking to a Gillingham fan right now looking
you
for them.
Could. You really could.
Somehow doubt that. No disrespect to Gillingham. I mean, before we get on to the game, actually, it's worth having a chat because you brought it up. You got took over by very wealthy owners. We all know the background to that. And Newcastle, for example, have got taken over by PIF. They've got a lot of money, probably more money than everyone else in the Premier League put together. Wolves, you know, Fosun, they're, you know, each of the owners are worth billions and billions of pounds as well. But the likes of Newcastle and the likes of Wolves, you've got FFP to deal with. When the City owners come in, they could, and get a lot with Abramovich at Chelsea, there wasn't that sort of restriction. So you could sort of spend the money without any restrictions and got yourself to the top. And now for some fans, it feels a little bit frustrating because if you have an owner come in that can spend the money, they, like Newcastle, for example, at the moment, they still have to spend within the FFP. So they can't literally just buy the, as some people would say, buy the league. They can't, they and get themselves up to that point. What's your thoughts on that? Do you think that's a little bit unfair these days that it can't, or the regulations were brought in and it is fair? Because it just seemed to, from fans further down the food chain, it sort of seems to keep the top six where the top six are because they obviously have now got that much revenue coming in and it's hard to break into that through that glass ceiling. We saw Leicester win it for one off, but then they got, you know, relegate, they couldn't sustain it. Villa have had a great season this year. They've got a bit of money behind them, but Newcastle fell back a bit this year and they might have to sell some players in the summer. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, the problem we had was obviously Chelsea came along, didn't they, in the early 2000s. They just came and splashed all the money, built themselves up into a major group. The traditional sort of big four, big three didn't like that. And then obviously City came along in the early 2010s. Again, the big four, big five, whatever you want to call them, decided to, oh, we don't like these new boys coming around. But you need to remember, like, the financial fair play and all the financial sort of players and all the rules, they came in sort of as we were getting big. Like, they came in sort of like, what, 2013, 2014, after we won our first Premier League. So we've had to spend within our earnings as well, really. And it isn't like we've gone away and absolutely splurge silly money on stupid players. We built up from the ground up. Like, for example, I remember when we got taken over sort of in 2008 and we bought Rubinho, and that to us was like, oh my God, a superstar's coming to the team. And then all since then, all we've done is just gradually build the team up season by season. And then now, because we are where we are and the money we can bring in, the revenue, we are able to go out and spend the 100 millions on a Jack Grealish. We're able to splash for 50 million on a Nunes, for example, from Wolves. We've just about to build up. So it was slightly easier for us to do it than Newcastle. But it's one of them. If you've got an owner that can spend within their means, and if you can do a check on the owner to make sure they're not going to just come in and ruin a club like a Glazers, for example. Like, look at what Sheikh Mansour's done for the city of Manchester. Like, the complex we have, the jobs he's created. It's spectacular. It's amazing to see. We've now got a brand new arena. I don't know if you know that in Birmingham, but there's a brand new arena being built on our site. And again, more people coming to Manchester. It's attracting more sort of high-profile gigs now, which is amazing to see. So if you've got an owner who's happy to spend his money, is happy to sort of just improve the life of the club and the life of the fans, I don't see a problem in that. But your traditional United, Arsenal fans, Liverpool fans probably don't agree with me.
Interesting. And of course, the Premier League are talking about this I wouldn't say it's a salary cap, but it's a salary cap over within what they're spending. And obviously, that's a different story, but that's a slight change because the FFP. I'm going to ask you about Nunes in a second. One other thing, because it's interesting to talk to a City fan and to get your take. Obviously, Everton, 8 points reduction this year. Forest, four. They're both on appeal. You know, it looks like Everton are going to stay up. Forest may or may not. There's also seems to be this sort of dark cloud that keeps coming ever closer. City, this 105 charges. Do you think, as a City fan, is that something you worry about, or you're not fussed and you don't think anything will come of it? I mean, a lot of fans get frustrated because Everton and Forest have got these point deductions, but other people point, well, how come they've got that and City have got 105 charges and nothing's happened yet? But it's a bigger investigation. Can you see a scenario where Man City get kicked out of the league and have titles taken off them down the line, or you're not worried about that? I'm only asking because you're right within it. It's probably something you talk about in City circles, and it'd probably be of interest to a lot of fans from outside the City circle on what where you're at with that.
Yeah. So within the City circle, the feeling is very confident, is what you say. Like, all the insiders, the media, everybody who is within the club is confident on the charges to not come true, really. I mean, there's a big difference. You need to look at the difference between a charge and a conviction. We've been charged. We haven't been convicted of anything yet. There's a big investigation to go. I'm not a lawyer. I'm sure you're not a lawyer, Dave, either. A majority of the working class fans are not lawyers either. So we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. All you can do is trust the club. And I trust the club. I trust the management behind the scenes as well. They say we're not guilty. So I'm going to believe that until we get proven otherwise. Also, with people moaning about sort of a time, it's 115 charges over a period of...
That's 115,
yeah. Yeah, it's over 7-8 years. Like, you can't prove that overnight. It's going to be a lot of defence. I mean, UEFA tried to charge us. Look what happened there. It didn't come to fruition. And is the same going to happen again? We don't know. But my inkling is it's positive. And at the end of the day, if it does happen and they do take the Premier Leagues away, are they going to take away my night in Istanbul? No. Are they going to take away the 2012 Aguero goal that I saw live? No. Are they going to take away any of the Premier League I've seen live? No. The feelings are still there. I've seen it. I've lived it as a fan. So if they take them away, they take them away. Right? 50 years down the line, people might use it as an argument. But in the here and now, they can never take that memories away from me as a City fan.
That's a really good answer. And to be honest, that moment with the Aguero, that moment.
Special, yeah.
Was iconic and really, really, really iconic moment in the Premier League. And as I say, I'm sure we'll talk again in the future and stuff about these sort of things. But like for the here and now, it's still, the can is still a bit further down the road. Before we get onto the game again, Mateus Nunes. Yes. You know, kind of down tools, really, to get a move for City. What's your take on him since he's been there? Because, like, for me, he just seems to have a lot of splinters on his bum, and the main thing that he's done is broke his finger since he's been there. I mean, yeah. What's your take? What's the City fan's view on Mateus Nunes?
Yeah, he's been unfortunate with injuries. Every time he's had a couple runs of games in the side, he has come out with an injury, which you can't help as a professional footballer. End of the day, he's walking into a treble winning side. It's not an easy feat to do at all. You can tell on the ball, technically, he's very good. He reads the game quite well. You can tell that just by watching him. Attitude, sometimes he's a little bit stroppy, I want to say. But we've had a few Portuguese play for City. We are quite used to the fiery tempers. It just shows the passion they have for the game. I'm excited to see more of him. I'm hoping next season he can really push on and have an injury-free side where maybe there's going to be quite a few changes within the City squad just because with contract situations, with people wanting to leave maybe Nunes can really sort of come to fruition. He's got plenty of years under his belt for City. I'm excited to see what he kind of does for the club. But for first instance, he looks like a technically sound player that can sort of grow. Also, you need to remember under Pep Guardiola, most players need a year to bed in. It's a completely different approach to football. It's a different approach to any other coaching in the world as well. So it does take a while to get used to it. But hopefully next season he can kick on and really sort of put in them stellar performances he put in for Wolves.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was, we had a bit of a traumatic, turbulent pre-season. I'm sure that we were the laughing stock, really. And I think a lot of people had us for going down, and we've done a lot better. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
In exchange for getting Nunes, we got Tommy Doyle on loan with an option to buy for £4.3 million. I wouldn't change Tommy Doyle for Matheus Nunes, to be honest. I think Tommy Doyle, no. I think he's just because of his temperament and the way he dropped and went, and we got 40-odd million for him, and we look like we're going to get, we've got, you know, the option to buy Tommy Doyle for £4.3 million in the summer, which the club are looking like they're going. You probably saw a little bit of Tommy Doyle. What was your makes of him when he was at City? Because he's got all the hallmarks of a City player, the way he is on the ball, the way he scans the field, the way he pings it around. Young and English. Obviously, City have got a £50 million sell on. Obviously, I think we kind of got him for a cut price deal where it's probably £15 million. I think we got him for £4.3 because of the way the Nunes deal was structured. I think we wanted a little bit more. What's your thoughts on Tommy Doyle?
Yeah, he's great. He's a good footballer. He's the new sort of crop of City players at this moment in time that you're having a look at, where he's played under the Pep Guardiola system since 2015-16 when Guardiola came in. So the whole of Man City changed when Guardiola walked through the door. Every youth team plays exactly the same way that the first team plays. So he has been playing football the City, the Guardiola way, all through his youth career, and it definitely shows. I mean, you're looking at other players in the Premier League as well. McAtee, for example. Technically unbelievable. He's a great player.
Is he on loan at Sheffield at the moment?
Sheffield United. Yeah, he's gone back there. But he played with Tommy Doyle at Sheffield United. They were two real key points for getting them promoted. Doyle played a little bit further back because obviously he's more of like a six, isn't he? More of a roaming sort of playmaker midfielder.
He can ping the ball. He's got a real good range of passing as well.
I wish he could have made it for City. It's a shame. Obviously, with his pedigree as well, his granddad is a City legend.
Absolutely.
He's got stature outside the ground, I believe, his granddad. So I wish he could have made it, but it's one of them now. When City are sort of churning out these players into the Premier League, you want them to go out there, play football, make a name for themselves. So I'm glad to see him doing well at Wolves. He's technically very, very sound. And he's going to be a great player for you for the next 5, if not 10 years, I reckon.
Well, yeah, I think his value will probably be worth in 2 or 3 years' time. I think he'll be more like the 40 million if he's English as well, isn't he? So if he breaks through into that, and with all the potential that he's got. The one other thing I like about Tommy Doyle is his attitude as well. He's a fighter. He will do all the hard graft. He will run. He's so motivated. He's not just technically gifted. He's got a real winner's attitude about it. He basically, when we went down to 10 men against Brentford in the FA Cup away, after 9 minutes, and then we're 1-0 down, he scored a goal from outside the area, which in fact is the only goal we've scored all season from outside the area. Wolves are the only team in the top 5 divisions of European football that have not scored a goal from outside the area, would you believe?
That's a great start. I'm using that in my group chats now. Thank you very much for that.
I think it's something like 140 shots or something from outside the area. We've not scored yet. And we're literally the only team in the top 5 divisions of European football not to score a goal from outside the area. But we did score one that day through Tommy Doyle. And he was literally running the midfield on his own. And I really loved... I think he's got a really bright future ahead of him. So... Wolves, what have you made of Wolves this season? I don't know if you were at the away game at Molineux. I'm guessing you go to most of the City games at the Etihad. Mm-hmm. What have you made of Wolves this season? And what have you made of Gary O'Neill from what you've seen?
Yeah. So I went at the Wolves away game. I haven't seen ticket holder for the home games, but they've surprised me. I won't lie. I had you tick to be relegated. I think the majority of the country did, really. It was a very popular take at the time. But Gary O'Neill has made you into a very well-organised, very well-drilled side. You've got some very exciting, obviously, attacking players in. Obviously, Huang's had a great season. He's just coming back from injury, which is great news for City. You've got players like Sarabia, who's played Champions League football for years. He's very technically sound. You've got, obviously, Cunha up top, another Champions League pedigree footballer. You've got a lot of exciting players. It was always a case of, would Gary O'Neill be able to make them gel? And he has. You had a bit of a rocky start, I believe, and really sort of come into play.
But it was a City game. Funnily enough, it was a City game that changed everything at Molineux, because we'd just come off losing to Ipswich in the League Cup, throwing away a 2-0 defeat. We'd had a tough start. He changed to a back three, and we did a real job on City that day. You know, you know you're going to concede a lot of possession, and you've got to take your chances. And that sort of was the turn, almost like you was the turning point for our season, that game. And then the belief come in, and then he went on to Monday Night Football, didn't he? Yeah. Did a bit of a tactical analysis. And it's sort of gone from there. Obviously, we've struggled since we lost four out of our five forward line. We've struggled. We managed to beat Luton. We've been on a bit of a winless run.
Yeah.
Like you say, Wang's back. Still not fully fit. Kuna's coming back. He got back from another hamstring, picked up a calf. He played again. Sarabia's played a lot, but he's been the only fit forward. And, you've got a City team that have got so much depth. I mean, your B team would probably make Champions League. The depth of quality is that good. Do you have any sort of fear or concern playing Wolves? Because I guess a lot of Wolves don't have to. I mean, we've played you 10 times at the Etihad. Mm-hmm. We beat you the 1 year that we were champions. Adama Traore scored two almost identical goals, and we've got a draw. But it's a tough place to go, the Etihad. And, you know, over the course, funnily enough, of all the times we've played City, I think we've played you 129 times. We've won 50, you've won 54. But in the Premier League, I think we've played you 19 times and you've got 12, and I think we've won four and all five, and the rest have been draws. You know, City are such a machine. And I always think it's a lot easier to play City at the start of the season before they've really got rolling.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the season, you just know how to win the league. It's like you saw last season, they just go on this run and just know how to win. Even when you don't play well, you grind out the results and you just seem to know how to do it. And the experience of City doing that year in, year out, can you see City dropping any points before the end of this season? Or do you have any concerns at all about this weekend?
I mean, it's always a concern when it's at this stage of the season. I'm probably one of the most sort of positive City fans you'll ever meet. I'm very positive on City and their chances going into this weekend. The thing about City at this moment in time is we're not playing the best. We're not playing the football we were playing last year. Like if you look at our game at the weekend against Forest, like if Chris Wood would have had his shooting boots on, I think Chris Wood had more XG than City's team did. And that
he missed that one sitting as well, didn't he?
Yeah, fluffed his lines massively. And it's just a case of City are beatable this year. We are. I mean, we've proven it. But we are a winning machine, as you said. It's a mentality. I call us a mentality monsters. When we get to that stage of the season where we usually after February and March, where we just click into gear and we know how to win. We've got a team full of winners. Majority of the squad have won at least one trophy, major trophy in their career at this moment in time. They know how to win. And obviously, with Arsenal playing at 12:30, who knows how they're going to do. If they win, it might spur us on even more, really. We just need to keep grinding out. We're not top of the league. We need to remember that. And we have got a game in hand. If we win every game, it is in our hands. But would you rather have points on the board? It's a fair argument, I think, where the pressure is still on us. Like, I understand we are a well-drilled sort of machine, as you were describing us, but At the end of the day, all it takes is just Aitnori to get the ball in the left-hand flank, sprint past, cross it in, Kuna at the back stick, 1-0. That's all it can take, especially counter-attacks. We've been counter-attacked so much this year.
If that actually happens the weekend, we'll have to put that out.
Just clip it. Just clip it and put it everywhere. Yeah. Like I've just given you 10,000 views right there, so there you go. You can appreciate it. But yeah, it's a case of, we know what Wolves are going to do at the weekend. And I know that you do like to play football, but Gary O'Neill, he's going to have them well drilled at the back. He's going to try and keep it as tight as possible, probably take inspiration from the Arsenal game, where if you can keep it tight, maybe break away and get a goal, that's how I'm expecting.
Yeah, we had we had a decent performance against Arsenal, considering the amount of players, and they scored two at the end of each half. We hit the post or the bar at one point with the chance we have, but it didn't. That's football, isn't it? Sometimes you hit the post, it goes out. The other team hits the post, it goes in, and it changes the game. I mean, City is a team, once they get on a roll, they can score quite a few goals. The one concern for me is we're missing a really experienced central defender in Craig Dawson. Now, Craig Dawson, first game, he really marshalled Haaland really, really well. They had a plan for him. I know that he's been out injured, but he's sort of back fit again. He scored the other night, didn't he? He came on and he's just a machine. He's just a goal-scoring machine in a team that creates and can put things on a plate, and he finishes most of the time. We don't have Craig Dawson. We have a very sort of young defence as well. Obviously, we've got Kilman, Totti Gomez, who we got for 900,000, and Santiago Bueno, who's sort of stepped in. Uruguayan central defender, but, you know, it's a big thing. I think we'll go with the back three. Hopefully, Aitnori will be fit. Hopefully, Semedo will be fit. It'll be interesting to see. Obviously, I don't think Tommy Doyle can play because of
technically a loan to buy, isn't it? I think he's technically a loan to buy.
He might not be able to play against his parent club. So you'll probably see, I would imagine, Boubacar Traore, Joe Gomez and Mario Lemina. And then you'll probably have Kuna and Wang to start off with the pace. It's a shame we ain't got Pedro Neto fit.
Yeah. Course.
Because he can when he's fully fit, but we've missed him, and we might get him back for the last couple of games, but you know he's going to be gone next year. If you were to, is there any Wolves players that you'd like to, you know, take from Wolves? Obviously, you had Nunes. I think there's been rumours of you're looking at Ryan Aitnori as well. Is that someone that you've got your Iron Ore has been sort of rumoured in City circles because you want that. I think you're looking for another left wing back type of player, aren't you?
Yeah, left wing back, left midfield, central midfield. They play everywhere nowadays. Yeah. Aitnori is technically brilliant. He's a great footballer. He's fantastic going forward, which is exactly sort of how we play, really. We play with usually it's like a three centre halves, and then one of the back four will sort of step into midfield to give a bit of a man overload advantage. I can see us going for Aitnori in the future. Pedro Neto, obviously, he's sensational, isn't he? He's both feet. He's lightning quick. I'm excited. I'm interested to see how he's going to be coming back from his injury. Sometimes it can take a little bit to sort of get back.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing for us. Obviously, I don't know whether Neto will be involved or not at all. He's close, apparently. But whether or not he's fit enough, he won't start. There's a possibility. We'll find out more from the press conference later on in the week. It would be nice to have Pedro back, but like he's a bit of a luxury player, really, because he's so good.
He's great.
We've had him for 5 years, but he's only played 2.5 years out of the five because he breaks down an awful lot because obviously the speed he goes, the way he carries at the ball, he picks up a lot of hamstrings. He obviously had a big knee injury that he recovered from as well. Be interesting to see whether he's around the squad or not. But he has been back on the grass. But whether he's fit enough to face City or they're holding back for Palace, it'll be interesting. What are you expecting from City at the weekend? And what are you going as your score prediction?
I reckon a nice 4-1. I can expect us to concede.
You're not confident at all, then, are you?
I reckon we could potentially.
You're going to give us one though.
I'm hoping for an early goal. That would sort of settle the nerves. Is Haaland going to come back into the side? I think he will. We have looked slightly better without Haaland, which is slightly weird to say, really. Playing Alvarez is sort of like that attacking player sort of leading the line. We and him stepping into midfield, it has made us look a little bit easier on the eye. I think sometimes with Haaland, he can get a little bit isolated. I'm sure the back three, you're going to be trying to marshal him out the game. But City's threat comes from his attacking midfield players at the moment. In my opinion, Phil Foden's the best player in the league at the moment. No, I think he might be ill. Well. He's currently suffering from an illness, so whether he plays is a bit of a unknown at this moment in time. But then again, you're looking at players like Bernardo Silva, who's going to step in. Kovacic, who's can come into midfield, him alongside Rodri. You've obviously got the threat from
I think Rodri's
going to play. Yeah,
he didn't play against us in the away game, and Lord,
yeah, I think Rodri. If you stop Rodri, you stop City, in my opinion. Rodri is the most crucial player to City's side. If you stop him, you'll stop us playing. But he's probably very hard to stop. Yeah, it's very hard to stop. Jeremy Doku is an interesting one. I reckon we're going to start with Jeremy Doku. We've been a back five.
Oh, I like him.
He's really, really exciting. He's really coming to play the last few games. He's been used as more like a sort of a super sub sort of role. Yeah. And he's really coming to his own. Like he's changing games.
Is he Belgium especially as well? Is he Belgium?
Yeah. He's Belgian. So he's really coming to his own in his last few games, where he had a bit of a rough patch around Christmas time. He sort of slowed down. He's getting a little bit of stick online, but he's really coming to play. So I would expect to see Doku start just because of a little bit different bit of pace on the wings, trying to make something happen against the back five where space is going to be quite limited. And then obviously you've got Kevin De Bruyne. I think Kevin De Bruyne starts as well, where he could just turn anything into gold, can't he? Where you could give him half a yard, he can pop into the back of net. So I think 4-1 overall. I'd like to see how you think your boys are going to do.
Well, I'm still thinking about it actually at the moment. So I'm going to probably think about that till I know what the team is.
Teams. Yeah.
I'm hoping that I hope we can make it really interesting and get a point. Because that would make the title race really, really, really exciting. Yeah. But it's going to be incredibly difficult. We know it's going to be difficult. I mean, most fans that go to the Etihad to watch their team go with hope and not a lot of hope and not a lot of expectation. And it'll probably be the same for all of us. But the thing is with football, that's why we love it, because it's magical at times. You know, you get results when you don't think you're going to get results. Wolves have beaten Tottenham home and away. Mm-hmm. We've beat Chelsea home and away. We've had a decent record over the years. I mean, we beat in the Asia Trophy back in the day, over in China. We've had some results against City. We beat you earlier on in the season. So, you know, you can be done. It's just, can we do it with the team? We haven't got a lot of depth because of all the injuries, and you've got so much depth, but it's a one-off game. It's 11 men against 11 men, and on a one-off game, anything can happen, and that's why we love football. So let's see. But what I can say, it's been an absolute delight and a pleasure for you to give your time up for half an hour to come and talk about it. I think you've been really honest. We've asked you some questions about City and, you know, all the back stuff going on with City as well, and you've been open and honest about those. So I really appreciate it, Luke. Thanks for coming on. How can people find you and the City Report and your podcast, your own personal podcast? Please feel free to tell people about that as well.
Yeah, appreciate that. So I'm a part of the City Report podcast across all audio platforms there for you. It is a daily podcast throughout the week where loads of different contributors like myself jump on and discuss Man City with two journalists, Adam Booker and Amos Murphy. So you can find us across all sort of social platforms. I'm sure it would be linked below as well, Dave. And if not, you can always find my social platforms. I also run the Offbeat podcast as well, which is my personal podcast where I am predominantly on YouTube, where I get my favourite influential guests across the Northwest, really, musicians, sports stars, professional footballers, ex-pro footballers. And I just basically interview them and have a good chat with them as well. So you can find me on all my socials. It is Luke_Offbeat. And then for City Report, I believe it's at City Report Pod. But if you find yourself, come and listen to us, and really appreciate you. We appreciate you having us on, Dave. It's been good fun.
Absolutely, mate. And final question, are you going to win the title?
Yes. Yeah. City are going to make it 4 in a row, and everybody in the country is going to hate us for it.
Fantastic. You got the FA Cup to look forward to as well. I guess you're going to that.
Yeah, I missed it last year. I can't miss it again.
No, absolutely. So it's almost like, blooming hell, Luke missed it, so we better put it on again this year for him.
The first Manchester derby in over 100 years, and I thought I'd never see it again. Happens a year after, just my luck.
It's the way it goes anyway. Absolutely brilliant, mate. Thanks ever so much for coming on. Leave your thoughts on what Luke has got to say in the comments. Obviously, a lot of you will be watching this up and catch up, and also you'll be able to catch it on the Always Wolves podcast as well. Loads more content coming up. We'll have the full match preview tomorrow. We've got the press conference from Gary O'Neill on Friday. And of course, we've got all the match vlog and the post-match reaction after what will be a really interesting weekend's game against the champions, potential champions 4 years in a row, the citizens from Manchester City. Luke, all the best to you, mate. Thanks for coming on. And to all of you guys out there, always Wolves.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Open them up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.